Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service, where we report the world, however difficult the issue, however hard to reach. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
Leute, es wird unangenehm, denn ich muss euch einfach fragen, habt ihr euch eigentlich schon mal um eure Versicherung gekümmert? Hier ist übrigens Tara vom Podcast Tara sagt was und ich sage euch, es wird allerhöchste Zeit, Ordnung in euer Versicherungschaos zu bringen und dabei kann euch die App Clark helfen. Da arbeiten ganz viele Expertinnen, die das hauptberuflich machen, man glaubt es kaum. Und mit meinem Code TARA60, alles groß und zusammengeschrieben, könnt ihr euch sogar einen Shopping-Gutschein sichern, 60 Euro, bei zum Beispiel Amazon oder Douglas einlösbar, mit dem Code TARA60.
Today, virtual reality training platforms like Resil help both professional and amateur athletes practice while recovering from injury. Training in the metaverse allows injured athletes to continue to work on their focus and reaction times so they can keep their skills sharp and return to their sport with confidence. Meta and the metaverse are having impact today.
The Global Jigsaw is the podcast lifting the language barrier to show you the world through its media.
Радіо Тегерану.
Ми не вторгались на територію України.
Western countries are not the international community. That era has finished.
The Global Jigsaw from the BBC World Service. Listen now by searching for The Explanation wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
Thanks for choosing to listen to Assignment on the documentary podcast from the BBC World Service. I'm William Kramer and I'm reporting from Chiang Mai in Thailand, where the air is so dirty and polluted that it's affecting the health of many of the city's residents.
Okay, so I'm watching... I'm watching seven guys and one girl throw a basketball around here at Chiang Mai University Medical School. It's just gone 7 o'clock in the evening, so it's dark, but the court is floodlit. And these guys are having a great time. But there is actually something quite tragic about this scene, which is that one of their friends, in fact the captain of the school team, died in December at the age of 29. So tell me about him. What type of person was he? What was he like?
Friends and serious. And sometimes you can talk funny with him. And when you practice basketball for competition, he is very strictly and...
Very strict.
Yeah, he is the leader, team leader for medical student team.
Yeah. So he took it really seriously.
Yeah.
Dr. Krithai Thanatsombatkul, also known as Dr. Thai, died from lung cancer. And yet he was young, incredibly fit, and had never smoked in his life. But he lived here in Chiang Mai in northern Thailand, where for 3 months every year, the air quality is so bad, it's a serious risk to health, forcing people to wear face masks. Dr. Thai's friend, who's called Ta, tells me that it's become a big concern.
People are more aware than they were. And if they can see that the air is polluted, there will be less people on the court.
But what about now? Because you're not wearing a mask now and nobody is. There's seven of you and none of you are wearing masks. What is it now?
I checked before it came, 120.
120? You checked it, but then you didn't wear a mask.
Yeah.
That's 120 USAQI, a measurement of air quality. At this level, the air poses a risk for some people. But for Chiang Mai, it doesn't register as that bad. Because here, when the air is really bad, it's the worst of any city in the world. And that's exactly what happened 2 weeks ago. On the 16th of March, Chiang Mai's levels of PM2.5, which is a type of pollution, were 15 times higher than the limit recommended by the World Health Organization, or WHO. The Prime Minister, Srettha Thavisin, came under pressure to declare the city a disaster zone. But he wrote on social media that his government wouldn't do that because it might put tourists off. And tourists are part of what makes this town. Millions come here every year. Chiang Mai is ringed by mountains and famous for its moated old city and its hearty cuisine. But lately, it's starting to become famous for something else, too. I'm William Kramer, and for this week's edition of Assignment on the BBC World Service, I'm in Chiang Mai during its so-called burning season, when the air turns toxic.
We should start with an introduction. My name is Krithai Thanasombatkun. I am currently 28 years old. My nickname is Thai. I am from Chiang Mai.
Dr. Thai had a blog on Facebook that amassed a big following in Thailand. It was called Sudiwa, or Fight For It. Last year, he wrote a book with the same name. We've translated some of his words. They're read by an actor.
I was confident that I was very healthy. I regularly went to the gym, played sports, and ate healthy food. I didn't smoke. I rarely drank alcohol. I didn't stress out over work. But then I started to cough. Sometimes it was chesty, sometimes dry. For the first 2 months, nothing changed. I carried on going to work and exercising, but the coughing persisted, so I decided to get it checked out.
In October 2022, Dr. Thai went for a chest X-ray. He was told he had advanced lung cancer. So we're in some evening traffic, just driving through Chiang Mai, and we're going to see somebody who runs the medical faculty where Dr. Thai actually trained years ago. His name is Dr. Chai Chan. He's a very senior respiratory expert. And he's been talking about pollution for a long time. Okay, we've arrived. Do you think that Dr. Thai's death was linked to pollution?
I can say yes. Not only him, there's many of my patients in during the last 20 years of my work, I do lung biopsy. We found non-smoking lung cancer about 40% of cases. Before 20 years, I found only people with heavy smoking above 50 to 60 years old, heavy smoker. Now the time has changed. We found non-smoking lung cancers a lot, and it's related to PM 2.5.
PM 2.5 refers to the tiny solids or droplets that are present in dirty air, and which are the main cause of concern here in Chiang Mai. Dr. Chai Chan explains that these specks are so small that they can cross into our bloodstream and penetrate the cells of our organs. In this way, PM 2.5 doesn't just cause lung cancer. It's also behind blood clots, stroke, pneumonia, and chronic lung disease. While in some the effects may cause immediate symptoms, like wheezing or coughing, in others, including Dr. Thai, the damage can go dangerously undetected. The thing that's really sad is that he was a healthy guy and he was doing exercise. You know, I sort of think that going outside a lot and playing basketball or doing any sport is good for you.
Yes, good for health, because it exercise our heart, it exercise our muscle, it exercise our body organ system. But if we exercise in high polluted area and high polluted time, we inhale a lot of PM 2.5, maybe 5 times, 10 times more than when we sit still.
Simply put, if you breathe in more air, you breathe in more pollution too.
I mentioned that I was an avid basketball player. I dreamed of winning grand championships. And that dream was so strong that it drove me to practice even when the pollution level was high.
The cause of the PM 2.5 pollution in Chiang Mai is fire. And there are two types of fire that create problems here. Forest fires and agricultural fires.
So is this what you ate when you were a child?
Yeah. My childhood food.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited when I have it.
Good, huh?
I'm with my producer, Am, at her mum's house on the outskirts of Chiang Mai, and we're having lunch.
Did you used to go and gather these snails?
Yeah, from the field, from the rice field.
Mm.
Very good. Egg one, too, ma'am.
I didn't try the snail curry, but I was given something equally tasty. Mmm, this is nice. What is this?
It's a rice cracker.
You made it?
We make it, the rice from the sticky rice.
Mmm. Very nice. It's very nice, yeah. The rice field that her snails and my cracker come from was farmed by Am's father. Like most farmers in this region, at the end of the harvest, he burnt the stubble of plants left over on the field to clear the land for next year's crop. This is something that Am remembers very well.
He burned the rice field, he burned the soybeans after the harvest because we thought burning the leftover crop was good for the soil for the next crop. I went helping my dad after school when I'm in primary school. After rice harvest, we have the rice straw. We all put the fire in different spots and lit the fire and all the smoke everywhere. We thought this is helping the soil.
Does it burn easily?
It's burn like a flame.
Yeah.
Flame, but burn very quickly and then disappear.
If it were just isolated farms burning their crops, that would be bad, but not a health crisis. But in the last 20 years, the production of maize in Thailand has shifted northwards to this area. And over the same time period, people have started to notice the impact of the burning on their health and the health of their family.
Yet when I had my daughter, my own daughter, back to 20 years ago, I start to worry when she coughed in the dry season around February, coughed constantly until my husband just said, "What's wrong with our daughter?"
When the rains came in May, the little girl's cough went away. But it came back the next year and the year after that. As the maize boom took hold, people were starting to talk about the haze. Even the airport had to close because the smog was so bad. 7 years ago, Am and her husband decided they had to get out of the city. And they moved to Krabi in southern Thailand.
So we just leave, take everything with us and then drive to Krabi and stay there since then.
Yeah, yeah. But the irony is that you've been back lots of times when the pollution is at its worst, like now, to help cover the story. Because you keep coming back when the air is at its worst.
Yeah, exactly. I can't help with it because my work as a journalist, right, we have to come in the conflict area or the problem area. But at least my daughter in the safe place, safe environment.
But Am's father stayed in Chiang Mai. Like Dr. Tai, he wasn't a smoker. But also like the doctor, he was diagnosed with advanced lung cancer and died from it.
This morning when I woke up, the pollution measure was 10 times higher than the recommended level. I am not saying that the pollution in Chiang Mai is the sole cause of my cancer, but we can't deny that it's one of the factors.
Chiang Mai has a team tasked with fighting the air pollution. For 5 months a year, they operate out of an office that they call the War Room.
So I've just stepped into this room, and it's quite a long room, about 40 foot long, and along one wall, it's slightly curved and it's covered top to bottom with TV screens, and they're all showing maps, charts, live video feeds, data of Chiang Mai and the entire region, the entire country, in fact. You know, it's a bit like when you're watching a TV drama and you see the kind of the way that people imagine the Pentagon to look. That's kind of like what this feels like.
I'm Sorasak Vajisat, Vice Chair of Chiang Mai Provincial Administrative Organization, Chiang Mai PAO. We're in Chiang Mai's command center for wildfires and PM2.5 prevention.
So this is a heat map showing PM2.5 levels across Chiang Mai and the area around Chiang Mai, and it's mostly red, which I guess shows that the PM2.5 level's quite high this morning.
Oh, okay, we are here.
Oh, we're there. Okay, so 56.3. So the WHO recommendation for PM2.5 is not above 15 micrograms per cubic metre as an average over 24 hours, 15. And we're 56.3 this morning where we are right now. And it's about the same in the mountains. Since you've been working here, what's the worst that you've seen it?
There was a forest fire that lasted for 3 or 4 days. There was a lot of pollution and we all had to work from home.
Does he remember what the PM 2.5 level was or the AQI?
400.
400, wow. PM 2.5.
Oh.
That's deadly.
So
it's terrible.
Yeah, she said like we have the salt, you know, salt in our eyes, you know. Quite we couldn't see our vision is have a block by the air pollution. It's we hurt our eye, we saw.
And it was 400. Oh my God, that's incredible. That's terrible.
The War Room has received plaudits for its multi-agency approach to the problem of air pollution. But campaigners are also critical that while they close schools and tell people to work from home when things get really bad, agricultural burning is just delayed rather than stopped. It is illegal for farmers to burn their fields without getting permission. But there's a handy app for them to do just that. Nunwan Katiwat, a city planner, explains how it works.
We allow crop burning if the weather and pollution conditions are suitable. We've developed an app for farmers to request permission to burn their crops. Before we grant approval, we consider the pollution forecast, air permeability and humidity. Additionally, we only grant permission during a specific time window, typically not extending past 3 or 4 p.m.
I get the feeling like you're making the best of a bad situation because it would be better if these farmers didn't burn their fields, right? Like, it's really not a good thing. But what you're trying to do is to at least space it out a bit. But it's kind of, how does it feel to come here and work and to see your city suffering? To see your city suffering with this bad pollution and with the fires? It must be quite difficult to watch sometimes.
Of course, I feel bad. Every time I drive around the city and see fires burning, there's nothing I can do about it. I can only hope that the fires will go out soon and don't come back.
This is the documentary from the BBC World Service.
Water used as a weapon of war.
In none of these villages, there was any piped clean water for people.
A nation in the grip of criminal gangs.
How bad does it have to get before the international community reacts?
A country showing signs of fracture.
Right now with Sudan, things are really quite dark. The nation is divided. The mistrust runs so deep.
The Global Jigsaw from the BBC World Service is back for a new series. Listen now by searching for The Explanation wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
Hallo, hier sind Julia und Chris vom Podcast Drinnies. Wir machen nicht nur einen Comedy-Podcast, sondern gehen auch leidenschaftlich gerne nicht zu Stoßzeiten in den Supermarkt. Ehrlich gesagt bleibe ich am liebsten ganz zu Hause und ziehe nur eine Hose an, wenn es klingelt. Wenn es euch auch so geht, dann ist HelloFresh genau das Richtige für euch. Der Kochbox-Lieferservice bringt euch frische, abwechslungsreiche Gerichte direkt vor die Haustür, die ihr im Handumdrehen selbst zubereiten könnt.
Und mit dem Code LECKER24 könnt ihr jetzt richtig sparen. In Deutschland bis zu 120 Euro, in Österreich bis zu 130 Euro und in der Schweiz bis zu 140 Franken. Also Code LECKER24 eingeben und sparen.
PS, der panierte Portobello-Pilz mit Sweet Chili Ketchup ist sehr gut.
Leute, es wird unangenehm, denn ich muss euch einfach fragen, habt ihr euch eigentlich schon mal um eure Versicherung gekümmert? Hier ist übrigens Tara vom Podcast Tara sagt was und ich sage euch, es wird allerhöchste Zeit, Ordnung in euer Versicherungschaos zu bringen und dabei kann euch die App Clark helfen. Da arbeiten ganz viele Expertinnen, die das hauptberuflich machen, man glaubt es kaum. Und mit meinem Code TARA60, alles groß und zusammengeschrieben, könnt ihr euch sogar einen Shopping-Gutschein sichern. 60 Euro bei zum Beispiel Amazon oder Douglas einlösbar mit dem Code TARA60.
I'm William Kramer, on assignment in Thailand.
So we're at a roadside petrol station and coffee shop just on the outskirts of Chiang Mai. We're about to leave the city and go up into the countryside and the hills around here to meet some farmers. And I have to say, I'm kind of pleased about that because it's been a few days now and I feel like I'm starting to feel the effects of the bad air. Like I can feel it on the back of my throat. And I've got a runny nose a little bit. And apparently that's quite normal after a couple of days of being here. So I'm quite looking forward to to going.
Thank you. Thank you,
Unfortunately, my hopes of evading the pollution turn out to be naive. It isn't just agricultural burning that's causing the rocketing levels of PM2.5 in Chiang Mai, but forest fires too. In fact, Greenpeace estimates that there are roughly the same number of fire hotspots in the region's jungles as there are on farms. After driving a couple of hours into the tree-blanketed hills, we see the situation for ourselves. We've just got out the car and because there's a fire next to the road, there's thick white smoke blowing across the road. I've got my mask on. The fire is just burning gently. There's a layer of ash across the forest floor. It looks a bit like snow. And just ahead are some firefighters. They're not wearing all the, you know, the protective equipment. They've just got red T-shirts and red baseball caps and scarves in front of their faces. One of the firefighters tells us that this fire has been started by local troublemakers. They've already put it out once, but the vandals came back and started it again. But a couple of minutes later, someone from the Forestry Parks Department gives us a different story. This fire, apparently, is legit.
So, agriculture farm, they already asked permission to burn. So this belongs to the community area.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
So are they clearing it? Are they clearing it to grow more crops here?
They ask permission through the fire, the application, because they want to clear the land. They can plant new crop.
We don't really believe him. They don't grant permission to clear the forest at this time of year. But it's embarrassing for the authorities to admit that there's friction with locals. They call it revenge burning, when local people start forest fires for no real reason, just to annoy officials who come to the area and tell them that they can't start fires. We continue our journey, but we quickly realise that this fire was not an isolated incident. Is that Mei Gem?
Yes.
Yeah, so we're just where we're going. The horizon is just full of smoke. We're in a slightly higher spot just now and I could see three separate fires in just one direction. Is it always like this?
I think every year.
Every year.
But some years less, some years more than this year.
Thanks very much for seeing me today. At the next town of Kong Kek, we speak to the mayor of the sub-district, Siwan Papason Watanaku. In the last kind of 10 miles, I'd say, of road, I think we've passed at least 10 fires, some of them right by the road. Were these fires done with your permission or with the permission of the authorities, or were they done just by individuals?
The fires you saw on your way here are controlled burns. The people have got permission through the app.
Yeah, but all of the fires that we passed were all in the forest, though, weren't they?
We have controlled fires, which are registered, and we have illegal burning.
What are people's motivations for doing these purposeless fires?
It's hard to say why they're doing it. Sometimes it could be for fun or as a protest. It could be anything. But if it's in the forest, it's likely to be people hunting or setting campfires which accidentally spread. It could also be an attempt to burn around a tree to flush out small animals that live there.
This is all illegal. But last year, only two people were arrested for starting fires. They were released after paying a fine. I've noticed that you're coughing a lot. Are you okay? Do you suffer at this time of year with the bad air?
I have to admit, I've been to many fires lately and I have to get my health checked frequently. On the days when the pollution's bad, I get irritation in my eyes and throat.
Okay, I hope you're okay. We also talk about the agricultural burning that takes place in this district. When the mayor was young, farmers in this area just grew what they needed to eat, with maybe a little left over to sell in the market. But then most farmers were persuaded, with special incentives and government support, to move over to a cash crop, maize. The corn was produced by small farmers but sold to middlemen who then sold it on to huge agribusinesses for use as animal feed. It's the world's insatiable hunger for meat that has changed the way that people in this part of the world farm. I'm standing in a maize field about a five-hour drive from Chiang Mai. If I pick up one of these sticks of maize, it's a big old thing. It's, you know, a couple of metres long, and it's very brittle. It's going to burn very easily. And this has been left over because with maize, you only harvest a small part of the plant, just the cob. It's just sort of 10 or 20% of the plant. The rest is left over. And that's why we've got this pollution problem. Rakchat is a local farmer and the deputy chief of this village.
We still plant maize despite the problems because it pays well. From my experience, there are several problems. Burning the old crop causes pollution. The maize seeds are treated with chemicals which can transfer through the skin. And we have to use chemical fertilizers and pesticides for maize to grow properly, and they harm our health.
Will you have to burn your fields this year?
Yes, I'll have to burn again this year, around May.
When you burn the maize, do you wear a mask and wear gloves and things like that?
No, but I have a trick where I light the fire and stand upwind to avoid the smoke.
It's worth saying that maize farmers don't have to burn their fields. The stubble can be dug up and used to make animal feed or a type of charcoal, or just turned over by a tractor. But Rakchat's fields are mostly way too steep to drive a tractor on them. It's simply not a crop that is well suited to this terrain. And that's why some farmers are starting to think again about what they grow. Naret has a farm next door to Rakchat. He's also a maize farmer, but he's starting to move over to other crops.
I own about 7 acres of land. 4 or 5 years ago, I planted maize on all of it. I don't like maize much, but I need the money. Now I've split the land to plant mango, avocado, lychee and logan. I want a mix, but I still have to plant maize. The earnings from it are much better.
Narit's son Subab is there too. He went to university thanks to money that his parents earned from maize. But now he wants to move the farm away from that kind of crop.
What are your plans for your dad's farm?
I plan to restore the soil, which has been severely damaged by fertilisers and pesticides. I'm going to plant legumes first, then trees like macadamia once the land recovers.
There is research to show that in northern Thailand, farmers are moving away from maize. But there's a catch. Production has only intensified across the borders in Myanmar and Laos. The wind blows the smoke from those hotspots down into the city of Chiang Mai. So where does all of this leave the story of Dr. Thai? And how many more Dr. Thais will there be? In the first few months of this year alone, more than 30,000 people have already sought help for PM2.5 related issues at just one hospital in Chiang Mai. That's more than twice the number than at the same time last year. The residents of this city are losing patience. In January, a court in Chiang Mai ordered the Thai government to make a plan to improve air quality. Separately, the country's parliament is currently debating a new Clean Air Act. Campaigners want the act to include a clause saying that citizens have a right to breathe clean air.
When I stop to think about it, it's strange to think that I will die before I get old. I want to be a healthy old man with a good, strong body, even if I do get grey hair. But it appears that this may not be my fate. I have to admit that it hurts.
On December the 5th, Dr. Thai's friends announced his death on his Facebook group. They attached some posthumous words from the young doctor, a kind of epilogue for the blog. I think it's a bit of a call to arms, not in the sense that he's asking his followers to wake up and become campaigners for a better world, but because he wants them to wake up and notice the world they already have, while they've still got the chance.
When you know you are about to die, you will be able to focus on food, running, and the fresh air that you can breathe without feeling a sharp pain in your lungs like I do. Pay more attention to the beauty of nature, the smiles on the faces of people around you, and the laughter of the people you love. It's a precious gift that you can all still experience these things.
This edition of Assignment from the BBC World Service was produced and presented by me, William Kramer. It was mixed by James Beard, and the editor is Penny Murphy.
Cataracts are the world's leading cause of avoidable blindness. The metaverse can help address that problem. A virtual reality platform created by Fundamental VR and Orbis International helps train doctors to treat cataracts, resulting in more confident surgeons operating all over the world. With virtual reality training, surgeons can practice over and over to gain skills. Meta and the metaverse are having impact today.
Ob zum Meditieren, Entspannen oder Einschlafen, der neue Podcast Weltwach Klangreise geleitet dich in einem einzigartigen Hörerlebnis rund um den Globus. Begleitet von echten Aufnahmen von vor Ort, bereist du in deiner Fantasie ganze Kontinente, erlebst Klang für Klang ihre vielfältige Flora und Fauna und hörst entspannende Geschichten, die dir erlauben, dich inmitten dieser Umgebungen zu wähnen. Weltwach Klangreise, jetzt abonnieren.